All right, wrestling fans, this is Southern Dynamite here with Pro Wrestling America on this February 1st. We have a great card lined up for you this week as we get closer to St. Valentine's Day Massacre 2 weeks from today. This week, we come to you from the Renaissance Coliseum. We have a couple of things going on with the roster. First of all, we signed Rick McGraw, who some of you may know as a very good mid-carder in some of the southern territories. We also have a contract extension of the former American Tag Team Champion, Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels. And we are sad to announce that Rough and Ready have decided to part company with Pro Wrestling America. But as we start this week, Missy, Eddie Gilbert, and Christopher Daniels begin the episode at the interview desk with Lance and Mark. They are demanding the titles be returned to them. Gilbert claims that he was the legal man in the ring at the end of last week's match. If the Outlaws won last week, it would have been by countout, and the titles would not have changed hands. Gilbert then calls me out. I come out and ask what he wants. He wants the title belts back, and he wants me to quit my crusade against them. He wants me to cancel his match tonight against Jesse James Armstrong. He refuses to fight until he has the justice that he deserves. I respond that I know how to deal with whiny threats. If he thought I was in a crusade against him before, he just raised the stakes. Not only will I not cancel the title match tonight, if Gilbert, Daniels, or Missy involve themselves in any match where they are not involved, I will strip Gilbert of the Illinois heavyweight title. As they begin to protest, I also announce that the match, if it happens, will now be a cage match to keep the match between Gilbert and Armstrong. If anyone interferes in that match, they will be fined and suspended. I begin to walk off, but Gilbert nails me from behind. He and Daniels pummel me and toss me over the interview desk. As Daniel comes around to help me back to my feet, Gilbert throws a fireball in my face. They run off as the Outlaws show up. Referees help me back to the dressing room as the Outlaws introduce Precious as their new manager. She will make sure that Missy knows her place in the PWA. All right, so let's get to the ring. First match has Facade facing off against Black Bart. And Facade tries to keep Bart off his feet throughout the match through aerial maneuvers. As Facade springboards off the top rope into a flying crossbody, Bart catches him. He walks around the ring for a few seconds before drilling him into the mat with a powerful, massive power slam near the corner. Bart climbs onto the second turnbuckle and drops with a massive falling splash to get the pin. Travis rushes the ring to attack Facade, but Bart greets him with an ear ringer. Bart power slams Travis near the other corner and drops off the middle turnbuckle with a falling splash on him as well before leaving the ring. The winner, Black Bart, in a time of 8 minutes, 47 seconds. And both Facade and Billy Travis laid out prone in the ring. Rick McGraw makes his PWA debut, facing off against Iron Mike Sharp. This would be a normal match, but I add the stipulation that Sharp must win this match if he wants another shot at the television title. Sharp has the match well in hand for most of the time limit. He tries to make an example out of McGraw. Sharp loads the arm brace up for a clothesline, but David Manning sees it. As Manning and Sharp struggle over the brace, McGraw rolls Sharp up from behind for the pin. Your winner, Rick McGraw, in a time of 14 minutes, 2 seconds. And Iron Mike Sharp is not happy. He is not in the least happy about David Manning's role in his match. Next match has Stone Cold Steve Austin facing off against Dwayne Gill. And Austin just toys with Gill for a few minutes. He nails Gill with a spear and a jackhammer to get the pin in a time of 5 minutes, 6 seconds. Again, as Dwayne Gill was a mockery of Goldberg, why not have Austin, who was always pitted against Goldberg during their times as the top guys in whether WWF or WCW, have Austin win the match with Goldberg's own moves. We go back to the interview desk. Sting The old Sting, the colorful painted Sting, wants the imposter Sting to wrestle in a fair match. He asks that the cage for Gilbert and Armstrong's match stay up for his match in the main event tonight. As one of the bookers, Chris Candido comes out and says that he will make the cage match happen. He says that we will see who the real Sting is at the end of the night. You have to question Chris Candido making this point. What's going to happen in the main event? You'll have to wait a few minutes to find out. Next match has Honky Tonk Man facing off against Dexter Poindexter. And Honky Tonk Man makes quick work of Poindexter, pinning him after the shake, rattle, and roll in a time of 3 minutes, 2 seconds. Then we have a great match between Tully Blanchard and Michael Hayes. And as I said, this is a great match, both men holding their own, but Tully gets the pin with the slingshot suplex in a time of 9 minutes, 4 seconds. Now we have one half of the newly crowned American Tag Team Champions, Billy Gunn, facing off against Iceman King Parsons. And this would be a great match anywhere. And they have a clean match that goes nearly the entire time limit. Gunn finally wins the match at 14:57 in a 15-minute time limit match with a swinging neck breaker. Then we have a great tag team match coming up and scheduled. Brickhouse Brown and Billy Travis facing off against Brad Armstrong and Tim Horner, the Lightning Express. Armstrong and Horner demonstrate their ring savvy and chemistry as a tag team in this match. They focus on Travis throughout the match. Brickhouse gets a late tag, but he can't overcome the Lightning Express's teamwork. Horner gets the pin over the television champion in a time of 14 minutes, 33 seconds. After the match, Iron Mike Sharp makes his way to the ring. Facade follows close behind him. Sharp slides in under the bottom rope and attacks Brickhouse. Travis tries to pull Sharp off, but Facade nails him from behind with a springboard dropkick. Lightning Express leave the ring to let the other four battle each other. Brickhouse and Sharp spill out of the ring. Facade tosses Travis into the ropes and nails him with a springboard spinning heel kick to the face. Outside the ring, Brickhouse hip tosses Sharp into the guardrail. Facade runs into the opposite ropes and flies through the ropes with a shoulder block on Brickhouse. Facade and Sharp high five as Brickhouse and Travis have been laid out. Next, we have a match which in any of the Southern territories would have been a main event. Cowboy Ron Bass facing off against Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And Bass and Gordy battle each other in what everyone would consider to be a great battle. As I said, main event caliber anywhere in the South. Even though both wrestlers are heels, the crowd is on their feet the entire match. Bass goes for a bulldog, but Gordy throws him off. Bass heads to the corner, but Gordy nails him with an avalanche into the corner to get the pin in a time of 17 minutes, 52 seconds. Your winner is Terry Bam Bam Gordy. Now our semi-main event. Again, main event anywhere in the world, I would say. Illinois heavyweight title on the line in a cage match as Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert defends the title against Jesse James Armstrong. And as I said, Gilbert and Missy and Daniels, they have all kept themselves, kept their cool. The match keeps going. It's in a cage, but Gilbert is looking very confident. And in the match, Gilbert and Armstrong bludgeon each other. Gilbert tries to escape the cage, but Armstrong catches him and drops him with a Russian leg sweep off the cage wall for the pin and the title in a time of 19 minutes, 59 seconds. Armstrong makes his way out of the cage to claim his new title belt. When Gilbert gets to his knees, he starts throwing a hissy fit because he lost the title. The former double champion now has no belts around his waist, and he is not happy. And I'm sure neither is Missy. Neither is Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, because they now have nothing in the PWA except for their reputations. Now we get to the main event. Sting versus Sting. Old school, colorful Sting versus NWO Sting. Colorful Sting makes his way out to the ring first. The imposter Sting lingers behind in the dressing room. Candido goes looking for him to say that he must get to the cage. Imposter Sting refuses to leave his dressing room. In fact, he shoves Candido out of his dressing room and closes the door on him. Candido pounds on the other side of the door, but the imposter Sting refuses to open the door. All this is on the Jumbotron. After a minute, there is another knock on the door. The imposter Sting tells Candido to go to hell. The door bursts open from the other side, and Stone Cold comes through the door. He grabs the imposter Sting by the hair and drags him out of the dressing room. On the way to the ring, Stone Cold makes sure the imposter crashes into a few items. Colorful Sting climbs out of the cage and meets Stone Cold halfway up the aisle. Stone Cold releases the imposter. The imposter turns around to yell at Stone Cold, but Stone Cold nails him with the stunner. The imposter Sting staggers back into Colorful Sting's arms. Sting picks him up in a fireman's carry and carries him back to the cage. Once the cage door closes behind them, David Manning calls for the bell. Sting sends the imposter bouncing off all four cage walls. He sees no point in trying to win the match. He wants to make a point against the imposter. Sting whips the imposter into the turnbuckle. He nails him with the Stinger Splash. He sends the imposter down to the mat. He sets him up for the Scorpion Deathlock. Manning checks on the imposter. The imposter is completely out of it, completely unconscious, so Manning calls for the bell. Sting turns the imposter over into the deathlock. Manning tries to pull him off. The cage door opens and Stone Cold enters. He finally gets Sting to release the hold. Sting triumphantly walks out of the cage. Stone Cold is behind him. They look to the camera and tell Great Muta to keep the world title safe. Your winner is the Colorful Sting, old school Sting, in a time of 10 minutes, 48 seconds. But you have Sting and Stone Cold kind of teaming up together and sending a message to Great Muta. What is the point here? Well, Great Muta and Kensuke Sasaki were the ones who came up with the idea for the NWO Sting. And in fact, the three of them were great six-man tag team champions in New Japan after they dropped the Japanese part of the NWO off of WCW. So yes, a connection there, but both men want that world heavyweight title. Both men want their shot. And as we get to looking at St. Valentine's Day Massacre in a couple of weeks, in 3 weeks, we begin one of the big tournaments of the year as we prepare once again the 12-man round robin tournament to crown a number one contender for the world heavyweight title. The title shot to be made at Remember Their Legacy on May 31st. So we'll have in the next season of the PWA 11 weeks of great matches as the 12 men battle each other for the number one contendership. I can't wait for that, but we still have a couple of weeks to get through before we get there. And we will have more information as it gets there. But until then, this is Southern Dynamite thanking you for listening and for being here for your favorite fantasy wrestling league on the internet, Pro Wrestling America.